It's already been an incredible season. The Kansas City Chiefs have had so many close games, replacement kickers. They played on every day of the week, but Tuesday they played the toughest schedule. They fought to get the bye. They get an incredible victory in the AFC Championship game, but now a chance to make history. You can't make this up. And you can't make up what Ticketmaster does. This time of year, especially, Ticketmaster can become your best friend. But even as I read during the game on Sunday, reading the Ticketmaster ad all year long, they become a resource for you because so many great events happen at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium and throughout the Chiefs Kingdom.
It's Samaje Perine at the 30, first down! I love you, Samaje Perine!
Hi, everyone. I'm Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs, joined here by with senior team reporter Matt McMullen. The theme of this Defending the Kingdom will be You Can't Make This Up. I don't know what your favorite miniseries are, Matt. What are those you would binge on right now? If you had a choice, you can binge right now, what would it be?
Well, so Ellie and I have been watching Severance lately, but it's kind of a, have you watched that?
I have.
Yeah, it's like dark and very weird and sad. It doesn't really apply to this football team. I think what you're alluding to is a better analogy.
Well, Ted Lasso comes
Yeah.
to mind. So creative in the writing. But then there's others like the trilogy. I'm really enamored with 1883 and 1923 Yellowstone. I wish I could
Yeah.
just binge them all one by one by one. I know I'd have to be in some place in Montana just getting food, well, ironically, getting food and water. But there have been others, right? Mad Men was incredible, I thought, way back when. And then, oh gosh, some of the others. Hell on Wheels is really underrated. We know now Landman has become a big deal with Billy Bob Thornton and others. So,
And Jerry
but
Jones was a pretty good actor in that. Did you see that?
yeah, I'll just leave that at that. It was very good.
He was pretty good.
I felt like he was didn't even have to act. Like, is this so real life?
Yeah.
It was not better than your role in the Hallmark movie, though. It was not. You were awesome.
Well, hey, as you're saying that today, filming this on Tuesday, your role as a speaking security guard kicking out David Koechner posted today, just a few hours ago. I'm like your support man. I'm pulling away Koechner, but you had a line and that came out today. So, I
It
mean, I'm
was
just
not
talking about
as good as yours. It was not like yours.
No.
Yours was, it was a few good men.
Disagree.
You get it, heck yes, over the cord red. But it was that impactful with, hey, Trey, come on over. Like, anyway, it's, but this Defending the Kingdom is going to deal with, you can't make this up. Honestly, Ted Lasso script writers could not write the script. This season, Matt, Super Bowl 59, the fact that we're going to have this game against the Philadelphia Eagles. And there's just, we're going to jump into this, what your four favorite storylines beyond the obvious are. And I'll give you mine as well. But first, as is a Defending the Kingdom custom, whether we're on a Zoom or we're in studio, we go around the world. Let's jump in your spacecraft.
Yeah, let's do it. And for those wondering, why are you guys on Zoom right now? Well, the week before we go to New Orleans is just crazy. What's funny is that we like kind of know the drill now because we've been to all these Super Bowls. Who would have thought? But the studio is just jam-packed with players doing Super Bowl stuff. They have to like bring in a whole new backdrop. The studio is occupied today. So we're doing a virtual DTK. I'm on the third floor. Mitch is on the first floor. We're in the same building doing a Zoom DTK. So if you're wondering why we're doing that, that's why.
But Matt, before we get into that, you bring up an excellent point. We kind of touched on this last year. And on my Minute with Mitch series that I do in radio and television throughout the kingdom, I get into this even more. This week, I always wondered that what's 2 weeks before a Super Bowl? It seems like overkill. Like it's just, it's more promo than anything else. Honestly, you could use another week.
Yeah.
And the premise, and you and I have talked about this, you can't win the Super Bowl this week, but you can lose the Super Bowl this week. Because it's if you're not organized to deal with all of the chaos before the chaotic chaos, when you hit the Super Bowl site, you can get swept away and lose that game. And we've seen it happen throughout history.
Oh yeah, Coach Reid talked about it a few days ago that the game plan is almost entirely put in this week. So when you get to New Orleans, it's about mastering it and refining it because there's so many other things going on. There's all the media responsibilities. The media night on Monday is crazy, and then you basically have to speak to reporters every single day. There's so much going on, so many potential distractions. And that's kind of where like our culture and our infrastructure is so important. And it kind of helps this team achieve what it's achieved over the years and hopefully will achieve again because you eliminate all of that. Like you do your obligations, you do all that, whatever, but you're there to win a game. And I think sometimes the Super Bowl has become such a big event that people forget that at the end of the day, it's about winning a football game. And we know this just like anyone else that works here, that everything is so scheduled and regimented and it's all about routine. Like every single week is the same. And you kind of have to find a way in a very not normal situation like a Super Bowl to create a semblance of a routine and of normalcy. And Coach Reed's so good about that. And that's where hopefully this experience will help us next week. But yeah, this week is all about on the football side, treating it normally, getting ready for, a big trip to the Super Bowl. But from a business staff perspective, things are a little bit weird. The studio is in use today.
Well, and again, it's and taking care of your family and the requests.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this gets difficult. You've got a lot of family that you can't accommodate, and nor can I. Not everybody is part of this. And so the players deal with that and the coaches deal with that. Well, I know people that didn't make the cut over the last couple of years that don't like me anymore, right? They don't. So it's just there's a lot of tension this week that you wouldn't think would be there. And so you're right. Our infrastructure and culture is set up to try to mitigate that as much as possible. Because when you land there, and it's like the Olympic Games, because there's this bombardment of international media that comes in. And so you're asking questions or answering questions over and over and over. But it's just, one of coaches, one of his four mantras, his four pillars is eliminate distractions. This game is nothing but a distraction. And the NFL will create some of those distractions, quite honestly. So this is tricky, and this week is tricky. But what hasn't been tricky is when sometimes fact is greater than fiction. And the Kansas City Chiefs this year have been exactly that. Ted Lasso's writers are blushing. I said that on the play-by-play. Can't make this stuff up. And the storylines and subplots to this game are a decade's worth, really. Any one of these could be the big point or thought of a game, but man, there's so many for this Super Bowl 59.
Yeah, this is one of those stories that if this was like in a movie, it wouldn't be realistic. Like, we always make fun of the movie Draft Day because it's just so unbelievably unrealistic. If there was a movie, this is all fictional about the Chiefs' run to a third straight Super Bowl and everything that's happened, all the different ways that we've won games this year, I'd be like, that's not very realistic. But when you live it and it's real life, you just can't believe it. I mean, we're kind of
Like a
rambling now,
third
but.
replacement kicker doinking a field goal to win the division, you're going, oh, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
This
Or a
is my
blocked field
answer.
goal to win a game against a division rival. I mean, there's just so many examples. And it's just so cool that this team has found a way to get back to this point. And one thing that I keep thinking about over the last couple of days since we beat Buffalo is that we talked all year about the opportunity in front of this team. And we talked about it on last week's episode. Like, hey, we've talked all for months and months and months now about the opportunity and how this team could attack this and how they can hopefully make history. But now we're actually there, and there's so many potential pitfalls, so many things that could have happened, like injuries or circumstances or getting everyone's best shot where it just doesn't work out. The fact that the Chiefs are in this moment, like we're going to New Orleans for a chance to win the Super Bowl for a third straight year, something that's never happened before, really take a second to think about that. Like this team had a mandate and a challenge. Like Mahomes on stage saying, like, hey, no one's ever got three. Like, I want three. Well, yeah, we all do, but it's hard to get there. And the Chiefs went 15-2. They won the division. They beat the Texans. They beat the Bills. And we're going to the Super Bowl for a chance to make it three in a row. I still feel like it's yesterday that I saw McColl catching that ball in the end zone to win the second in a row. And now we're back. So I don't know. It's one of those things I keep waiting to wake up because this does not happen to teams and to fan bases, but we're living it.
Absolutely. And this is like coming up on episode 20 and you with Ellie watching Severance and like now it's at the apex, right? It's now hit, it's like what, and you're just staring like what's now? And that's where we're at with this. But absolutely just, and we'll jump into these storylines, but what we're living now is just incredible. If the Chiefs pull this off, well, I'll get into this probably more next week when we're in New Orleans. It just has a 72 Dolphins feeling to it. I'm not sure this will happen again. and you're saying, well, you just did it. Well, we're going to have an 18th game soon. And that 18th game will be against another division champion. That's a one from the previous year. If you're the champion, it's not in the far too distant future that we will all play international games. The season will be longer. The streaming services, you're going to be playing every day of the week. This team's just handled all of it. And it's going to get harder to handle all of it in the days and years ahead. So this could truly be a 72 Dolphins moment if the Chiefs can win Super Bowl 59. But I'm holding you up. Let's get space stations going.
One more thought, then I'll jump in. I'm sorry. We're just rambling today because, you know, we're excited. We've gotten, like, no sleep. And, hey, the Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl.
We're going to do a whole other podcast called, because we're down a rabbit hole now. It's just...
Well, have you heard from any of the Packer fans that are trying to say that the Packers won three straight championships because they won the last, like, NFL championship and then Super Bowl one and two? It's like, okay, listen, I acknowledge and respect the championships, but it is so much harder to win a championship in 2024 than it was in 1967. I'm sorry. It's just the reality of it.
Man, they played 14 regular season games and one playoff game. There weren't wild cards. The American or the Western Conference champion played the National Conference champion. And you know, it's the same thing with the 72 Dolphins. Now, they won 14 games, went undefeated, and they won three playoff games. I got it. But that's just, if you go 17-0 now, that's just the regular season.
Yeah.
You're sitting on the barrel at three more games. You got to try to go undefeated against some of the best teams in the league. So, yes, the Packer fans have weighed in, but it's not the same. And no. So, if give those guys, they would have to win what, two more playoff games just to get to the point to get to the NFL championship game and then play a Super Bowl. And so, yeah, I respect you, like you, not the same, not to apples to apples or close.
Yeah, just saying. All right. About 20 minutes later, let's jump into around the world. So a lot of submissions today. For the sake of time, and because we're going to have a couple episodes in New Orleans, we'll kind of spread this out. So just a handful today. So I heard from Peter in Londonderry, Northern Ireland. Okay. Ooh. Now, some people would just call it Derry. Some people would call it Londonderry. Depends your political affiliations over there in Ireland and Northern Ireland. But he is from Londonderry. He plays American football for the Northwest Vipers. He's the quarterback and wears number 15 for obvious reasons. He's also the club's new women's flag football head coach. So pretty cool. As you know, I went to Northern Ireland a couple of years ago, spent some time in Belfast, didn't make it to Londonderry, but just a beautiful, amazing place. And I cannot wait to go back. So shout out to you, Peter. Janet is from Goshen, Kentucky, just outside Louisville.
That'd be Goshen, but that's okay. I know it's Goshen, Indiana. Let's go with Goshen.
Yeah. Goshen.
Sounds more fun.
I think it's my natural instinct to always have the incorrect pronunciation. It's incredible. I should start going against my instincts when it comes to this. Goshen, Kentucky.
Goshen, Kentucky.
Or as some call it, Goshen. But they're originally from Chillicothe, nearby, home of the
Hornets.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Great football tradition there.
So Janet is representing the kingdom in the middle of Lamar Jackson and Bengal territory. Not a lot of Chiefs love over there in Louisville, but she is representing us. They also learned that one of their friends, they recently figured this out, one of their friends was neighbors with you growing up, and they wanted to say hello from the Lovell family. You know the Lovells? Yeah.
The Lovell girls, their dad, I think, played football at Texas A&M. He was a coach and came back. He raised cattle, did a great job there. And yes, they were neighbors, but you got to understand, their farm from us would have been 13 miles away. So their neighbors, 13 miles away, but we all rode the school bus together.
Wow.
And their farm and ranch was almost right on the Kansas-Nebraska border. But great, great family.
13 miles away and their neighbors. That's small town living right there.
It's the next door neighbors 13 miles away. It's like Yellowstone, right? So throw in another series here.
Yeah, there you go. So we have a listener from Mount Vernon, Indiana. Been a fan since 1987. Her husband is a veteran and was stationed somewhere around Kansas City. I'm not sure exactly where, maybe Leavenworth. When they were stationed here, she became a Chiefs fan and has been a fan ever since. So shout out to you. PJ and Gina are in Oklahoma City, but originally from La Crosse, Kansas, home of the
Leopards.
Yeah. But they have the Jaguars logo, right?
do have the Jaguars logo. I often wondered, like, well, we don't know the need to do coach going Duval. That's kind of creepy, but yeah, they could put Duval up on the lacrosse locker room.
What county is lacrosse in?
Rush County, I believe.
So they
I
could just
think
be
it's
like Rush.
Rush. That's it. Yeah, Rush.
That's
It's the
what they
rust.
should do.
It's the barbed wire capital of the world, actually.
Barbed wire capital of the world.
Barbed wire capital of the world. You know, the
Okay.
book Our Boys, which was the New York Times bestseller written about Smith Center,
Yeah.
when they were on the run with the nation's longest winning streak, one of the key games was against lacrosse. Lacrosse had a running back that was recruited to play at Oklahoma. And one of the key pieces in that book, we're talking about mini series here, was Smith Center against lacrosse with that great running back.
Interesting. Okay. Well, it's funny you bring that up because they mentioned that they had five boys, all played football, and they remembered some long drives to go play Smith Center. So there you
Yeah.
go. Linda is listening from Cincinnati. Love Chiefs fans in Cincinnati. Please represent.
Oh, yeah.
Randy,
Hang in there,
hang in there.
undercover.
Randy is listening from Omaha. They were at the game on Sunday. We've got another Janet from Jasper, Missouri, home of the.
Oh gosh, I should know. And we're gonna get these Southwest Missouri towns. That's near Joplin too. Probably Tigers. That's the easy one to go with, but it's not.
Well, it is one of the kind of generic ones. Don't love it this week. It's the Eagles. Yeah, I'm
Sure,
sorry.
they come up with something better. I don't know who came up. I mean, yeah.
Not a lot of Eagles flying around Jasper, Missouri.
No, but there's a
Yeah.
bald eagle flying around my house. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, it's like it's found its home. It's pretty cool.
Not this week, though. Generally, yes. Not this week. Terry is representing the Kingdom Down Under in Queensland, Australia. Got to make it to Australia. Tamara is in Oklahoma. Logan is in Austin, Texas. He's a coach at Westlake High School and loves to travel the country in his custom Chiefs painted car. Pretty cool.
Austin Westlake is big time.
Yeah.
Look at all the NFL players they've pumped out.
Is
So
that where Chase Daniel went?
I think so. I
Yeah.
think he went to Austin Westlake, yeah.
Just a machine. Then lastly, we have David from
Good link.
Cork, Ireland. Been a fan since 2012. This is kind of funny. So him and his friends back in 2012 used they were playing Madden, and basically they did like a random team generator, and they all decided whoever they were assigned would be their team for life, and they'd just follow it. It's like if you and I were doing like, European League of Professional Football or something, like, oh, I love the Stuttgart Surge. Well, he got the Chiefs. Keep in mind it was in 2012. Okay. Not the easiest year to follow the Chiefs, but it's stuck with us ever since. And now David is reaping the benefits. So shout out to you, David. That's all I got today.
Well done, David. Well done. Because now your team that you got randomly selected for has a chance to make history and to get the opportunity to win back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls. We'll start there, Matt, because I think you and I will both claim this plot as the main one, as we know. And as I said, it's got a 72 Dolphins feel to it. But here we are going to New Orleans to play the Eagles for a chance to do something that's never been done, which will set the 2024 Chiefs, if they do this, by themselves in NFL history.
Yeah, and we're living it. To think that the Chiefs already have made history by winning against the Bills to make it back to the Super Bowl. Nine teams have won back-to-back Super Bowls. The Chiefs are the first ever to have a chance to win three in a row. None of those previous eight teams made it to this point. And only three teams in NFL history, I think, have, or four teams now, including the Chiefs, have made it to three straight Super Bowls. And of course, those other iterations had not won back to back before their third. So it's truly incredible. And how about Patrick Mahomes? So Patrick Mahomes is one of my storylines here. He's now 17-3 as a starting quarterback in the postseason, passing Joe Montana for sole possession of the second most in NFL history. Only Tom Brady with 35 owns more, but Patrick's coming. I mean, 17 postseason wins in 7 years as a starter is just ridiculous. Against the Bills, he led his sixth career fourth quarter postseason comeback. That also passed Montana for the second most all time. Only Brady with nine has more. Mahomes is also now 27-26 in his career in games in the regular and postseason that he trailed in the fourth quarter. So I'm going to say that one more time. When the Chiefs have trailed in the fourth quarter under Patrick Mahomes, they're 27-26. He has a winning record in the fourth quarter when he's trailing in his career. That's easily the best winning percentage of any quarterback in NFL history. He's the only one above 500. The next closest is Darryl LaMonica. at a 386 winning percentage. Otto Graham.
Look at those others because I love this stat. Look at where Brady is on this stat. That's stunning. Or where Peyton Manning's at on this stat.
Well, so Brady is a 372 winning percentage. Montana is 384. Mahomes is above 500. He has a winning record when the Chiefs are losing in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's just crazy. And that's because the games are always close, so he always has an opportunity to go down and win it. But it's nuts. Hopefully we're winning the entire Super Bowl and don't need another fourth quarter comeback. But he is the best of all time at doing that. And lastly, I could go for like 3 hours on all these Mahomes stats, but this is one of my
And against
favorites.
the Eagles, I don't want to fire them up, but his comeback trailing by what 10 or more at halftime, it's 2-27. The other one was in Super Bowls. If you're trailing by 10 or more at halftime, the teams were 2-27. Super Bowl 57 was one of those against the Eagles. The other one was the great comeback by Brady against Atlanta. Okay.
I mean, just incredible. And trailed by 10 points in all three of his Super Bowl wins. No problem, came back. He's about to start his fifth Super Bowl. Okay. The only other quarterbacks in NFL history to start five Super Bowls, Tom Brady, obviously, he started 10, and John Elway started five. But here's what's cool about it. So Brady was 34 when he started his fifth Super Bowl. I think people kind of forget there was a long gap for Brady. He won the first three, and then there was a long gap before he won again. Well, in
An
terms of
11 season gap, Matt. That's 11 seasons, 04 to 14.
he really had two great stages of his career, right? And we look back on it like it all kind of happened, boom, boom, boom. But there was a long gap. He was 34 when he started his fifth Super Bowl. Elway was 38 when he started Super Bowl number five. Mahomes is 29, okay? Mahomes has been a starter for 7 years and he's starting his fifth Super Bowl before he turns 30. We have never seen something like this in NFL history. It's never happened before, not even Brady. And that's the point I'm trying to make, that no player has ever ripped off this kind of immediate success in the history of the NFL, and we're living it.
So amazing. So I'm counting on my fingers. 9 years he went without winning a Super Bowl, and he had the one undefeated season that Spags beat him. But still, almost a decade where he went without a Super Bowl victory when he had the three big gap three with the Patriots and then beating us in Super Bowl 55. One of my four, because we were saying we're going to pick four each here of our storylines that would Ted Lasser's writers would be cranking it out, would be also involving Pat. The fact that he now has 288 consecutive passing attempts without an interception. That is the longest of any streak of a quarterback entering a Super Bowl. And if you go back and look, this is where I said the demarcation line. He started out, Pat did this year, with six TD passes and eight interceptions. That's where I think the narrative started. But that's where the narrative ended. Like they don't look at what's happened. And even when since DeHop came in, the fact that he now has 21 touchdowns and only three picks, but the fact that he has already set history in since week 11, that last kind of desperate interception against the Bills in Buffalo, he hasn't thrown one since. That's the longest streak going into any Super Bowl by any quarterback without a pick. So I've got a Patrick one too. So I'll take the next one, and it'll be, and this is the most obvious one of all of them, but it does a little more dive into this because it's Andy versus the Eagles. You can't make this up. Ted Lasso's writers could not have written this, where Andy, the only coach who's been the winningest coach for two different franchises with the Eagles and Chiefs, but also to have over 100 wins with both franchises. But one thing I like about this will make the Eagles fans mad. He was 14 years with Philadelphia. And with Philadelphia, he had 130 wins. And he was 10-9 in the playoffs. He had 10 wins in Philly. In Kansas City, in 2 years less, he has 13 more wins, 143 in the regular season. And of course, his playoff record now overall is 28 playoff wins, just three behind. But he's got Bill Belichick, but he has 18 playoff wins in Kansas City. He had the one in 2015 before Patrick started his role. So, yes, 14 years with the Eagles were awesome, but his 12 years with Kansas City has actually surpassed that. But here he is meeting them again for the second time in 3 years in a Super Bowl with the team that he basically turned around as well. Now, he didn't win the big game. He was close. And I remember the day he ended his 14 years there. It was just kind of a sad day. I'm thinking, man, this guy's left such a footprint, but can we get him? We got him. He's left 2 feet here in Kansas City. So it's just been awesome to see the way Andy, who needed to also, he and Tammy needed to replant their life. They'd gone through a very difficult 2012 season like we had, and of course lost their son, Garrett. But he had to, Andy had to look, where am I going to go next? Where am I going to go? And he found potting soil here in the Chiefs Kingdom, and he has developed the biggest, best crop ever. And now is a chance to make all-time NFL history. So that's an obvious storyline, but that's my second one.
One, it's a great one. I think what's kind of interesting about that is in 50 years, Coach Reid will be remembered as the Chiefs head coach. And if I told you that back in 2013, you'd be like, I mean, he had this amazing run with the Eagles, and that's true. An incredible success with Philadelphia. And football historians will always remember that. But the casual fan 50 years from now is going to remember him as the Chiefs head coach because of all this immense success. And he's going to have an opportunity here to go down as the greatest coach of all time. You and I already think he is, but like it's going to be a fact. If the Chiefs can pull this off against the Eagles and be the first team in NFL history to win three consecutive Super Bowls, that'll be what, four Super Bowls for Coach. He'll have six Super Bowl appearances, already ties Shula for the second most all time. And again, like I said earlier, Mahomes is 29. This train is not slowing down. So anyway, not only will he go down as the Chiefs head coach, he's going to go down as, I think, the greatest to ever do it. And one of the reasons he's so great is how he gets the best out of his players. And that leads to another storyline for me. It's Joe Tooney. Joe Tooney, I get he plays on the offensive line, doesn't score touchdowns, all that. If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, it needs to go down as one of the great single season storylines in NFL history. Because, you know, I was trying to think earlier, someone asked me, hey, what was the turning point for this season? Because last year it was obvious. It was the Christmas Day game. Well, when you go 15-2, it's kind of hard to be like, what was the turning point? The team was obviously really good and got the one seed, won the division with time to spare. But I thought more about it. You know, the turning point might have been the Cleveland game, because even though the team was winning, there were protection issues up front. And I think there was a fair conversation about, can this team sustain success in the postseason if they can't protect? And putting Joe Tooney out at left tackle was a bit of a gamble. He had done it some, as we talked about before, but he's an all-pro guard. He hadn't played week after week at left tackle, really since what, college? But Coach Reid puts him out there against Cleveland, Houston twice, Pittsburgh, and Buffalo. We're talking about some of the best pass rushes, best defensive lines, best overall pass rushers in the league. Guys like Myles Garrett, Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, TJ Watt, Greg Rousseau, Von Miller. Really, really, really good edge rushers. And all Joe has done, specifically over his last three games, so against Pittsburgh, Houston, and Buffalo, two of those being playoff games, and the Pittsburgh game being a quasi-playoff game because that locked up the one seed, he's allowed a total of three pressures on 115 pass blocking snaps. That's crazy. Those are like full-time best tackle in the NFL kind of numbers. And for Joe to be doing this is nothing short of remarkable. It's a testament to who he is as a player, his technique, his reliance on what he's learned over the years, and his ability to take on that challenge. It is not easy. It's not as simple as, hey, you're a really good guard, you can bounce out and play tackle. It's really hard. There's a reason most guys can't do it. For him to not only accept that challenge, but to thrive, to excel, and to allow this offense to look the best it's looked all year long in the biggest moments is really cool. So hopefully the Chiefs pull this thing off in a couple of weeks. And we're going to talk all about Mahomes and Kelce and Chris Jones and Coach Reid, deservingly so. But I do not want Joe Tooney to be lost in the narrative of all this, because I think if we win the Super Bowl, Joe is a huge reason why.
Yeah, and that's a it's an excellent choice by you. And again, a subplot. If you had a Ted Lasso episode, it would be Joe, who was a story. The fact that he was the only NFL player to play in Super Bowls his first 3 years. Remember, he played in the loss to the Eagles with the Patriots, then the victory over the Rams, and he came here. I got those years right. But anyway, the fact that Joe then moves out to left tackle, premium position, and has played against this all-star cast and has done so well. That's an excellent choice. My third one is Kareem's second chance. If we were watching a anthology series here, and all of a sudden the premier back, the rookie back of the year, basically in 2017, just took the world by storm, Toledo, and became an awesome player, great for this offense, just perfect, and then be dismissed from the team in 2018 before all of this hoopla started. The Chiefs only had the one playoff victory, the wild card win over in 15, going all the way back to 1993, beat the Colts in 18. Kareem wasn't here. Kareem Hunt dismissed from the team, and for good reason. We all know that. But he kept his career going, trying to turn his life around in Cleveland, and then to get the chance to come back. First of all, Brett Veach has done his best job yet. Maybe the 22 draft class would be one you could argue against it. But for him to add DeAndre Hopkins, Samaje Perine, people have seen the reels of me saying I love Samaje Perine.
It's so good. I love you, Samaje Perine.
but Kareem Hunt's story, the Chiefs wouldn't be here without Kareem Hunt. And the fact that when you dive into a guy that had never won a divisional playoff game, he had watched from behind back, his Patrick was in his draft class. So he's watching all this happen. He and I had two good visits about that. And one was public, one was private, but he was not jealous. It'd be easy to be jealous and go, man, I missed out on that. Or to feel, he felt remorseful, but there was always hope with Kareem. The hope that maybe, just maybe, there's an infinitesimal chance that I'll get a chance to do it with those guys. And here he is, a perfect plot for some series. It is the prodigal son coming home, essentially, but who has saved this team in many cases to give them short yardage runner with a burst, give favorable down and distance, be a red zone machine. Here's what people may not realize. He has played in six playoff games, counting his time with Cleveland. Kareem Hunt has eight playoff touchdowns in six games. He has seven rushing touchdowns. He was really productive with the Browns in the postseason before with us. And keep in mind, he played one game in 17 in the playoffs for us. That's it. And so the fact that he has been so good in the playoffs is a Damian Williams redo, the run to immortality in Super Bowl 54. But even more so, Kareem has taken this up a notch ahead of Damian Williams, and now he's got a chance, but his chance gave us a chance. And it's like Andy Reid. Andy Reid needed another place to go. Andy Reid's second chance gave us this immense chance. And so there's a plot within a plot here, but to me it's really intriguing. And if Kareem Hunt can win this Super Bowl and help the Chiefs make history, then he'll become one of the great stories within a story of this team.
You see him walking around on the field after the trophy presentation, like long after people had cleared out, he was still just kind of wandering around. There's an element that you can tell that he just can't believe that this is real. I mean, you look back to 2017, led the league in rushing. He was going to be the next big thing, and the Chiefs were going to be the next big thing, and he was going to be right in the middle of it. Obviously didn't work out that way, but now for him to be back all these years later, contributing, helping the Chiefs get to the Super Bowl, I mean, it's such a cool story. And you're right, we wouldn't be here without him. He led this team in scrimmage yards this season, and when we lost Pacheco after week two, that was concerning, right? Because you lose your bell cow, what are you going to do? I mean, you can't just put all of the weight on the passing game, particularly after Rashee got hurt. Well, Kareem comes in and saves this team and kind of changed how we approach things offensively. And you could just tell the way that he was running against Buffalo, he's not wasting his opportunity. Speaking of guys who came back, kind of on a smaller scale, but similar idea, Jalen Watson is a storyline for me. And Jalen is an interesting one because we lose him in week seven, and he was having an awesome year up until that point. And I think you and I are in agreement here. We didn't think he was coming back this season. Like, I know there was like some chatter out there that, oh, maybe he's coming back. You and I were like, nah, I don't think he's coming back. It just doesn't seem realistic. You can't count on that. Well, it's a credit to him and probably some luck as well that he's back now. And he's not just like on the roster. He's contributing. Look at what he did against Buffalo. He was on the field for 30 coverage snaps. He was targeted three times and allowed two catches for 9 yards. I mean, that's a big, big deal against the number two scoring offense in the NFL. And Josh Allen, he was awesome. And you throw a player like that back into this defense, it just changes everything because it allows Spags to truly go into his bag of tricks. Think about that final incredible play on fourth down. Well, you can't do exotic blitzes like that if you don't have confidence in your corners to cover man on man on an island on the back end. Those guys aren't getting much help. With Watson, you can count on him to go out there and to handle his assignment. He's big, he's long, he can cover receivers like AJ Brown, who have a size advantage over smaller players. It's just a big, big deal having Jalen back. And I loved seeing him not just back, but making an impact like he did against the Bills.
I'm with you all the way. The other thing it did is it put guys, whether it's Na'Zi Johnson or Joshua Williams or Christian Roland Wallace, and it's your Spags bag of tricks. Now all of a sudden, Spags can put those guys in roles. I'm not playing a rook in a bishop's role. I'm not playing a bishop in a queen's role if we're playing chess. I have all my pieces in the area they need to be with their strength set, what their strengths are. And it allows Spags that. So it's a full complement of dudes. And I like that one. Was that all you had? Because I'm going to close it out with this one, unless you got another one.
I have one more that I'll hit on real quick.
Go for it. You go for it, and I'll close it out with this one. Or you can go ahead.
Well, it's other side of the ball. It's Xavier Worthy. And for those that listen on a weekly basis, we've kind of talked about Xavier like every week for a while now, and deservingly so. Xavier Worthy, as a rookie, just had his best game as a pro against Buffalo. Career best 85 receiving yards in the biggest game of his life. Also topped 100 yards from scrimmage for the first time. And the thing with Xavier is it's the consistency. So every game that he's played in, and we're throwing out the week 18 game, that game's a little frustrating because I think he was on the field for like one or two snaps. So technically it's like logged like in his game logs, but he didn't play. So we're throwing that out. Since week 11, in every game he actually played in, he's recorded at least 40 receiving yards. That's nine straight games. And it's not just stuff where he's schemed open. I think that's kind of the misconception about him. Like, oh, he has this great speed and he's not very big, so he's schemed open. He's like one of the best contested catch receivers in the league right now. You can't argue that. That catch that he had to set up the touchdown before halftime against Buffalo was unbelievable. And the strength that he showed, and he had one against Houston as well, where he just went up there and got it. When you have a player who runs a sub 4.3 and he can go up with the strength to make contested catches, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because we got to go win this game in a couple weeks. But Xavier's going to be a star in this league. Like, imagine what he and Rashee are going to do next year together. So I'm super excited for Xavier. He's one of those players that clearly, over the course of the year, really figured it out, and he's helping this team win. We are not to this point now without Xavier Worthy. And it's kind of cool because he had to grow up quickly with Rashee getting hurt. But now with Hollywood healthy, with DeAndre Hopkins in the fold, and with Juju Smith-Schuster kind of having an impact now as well, he doesn't have to do everything. He can just go out there and be Xavier, and it makes his offense so dynamic and dangerous. So excited to see what he's going to do in his first career Super Bowl. But Xavier, just his growth over the course of the year and a chance to finish his rookie year with the Super Bowl championship, is my final storyline.
Awesome. And I'll just tag it with two things. One, and this is a little bit about Rashee last year. He's reaching this crescendo in the playoffs. He's doing it when it counts the most. And more often than not, it's the other way. Great regular season by a rookie, but where are they in the playoffs? And they not only stay, they diminish. He's ascending. The second thing is coming out of Texas with that 4.21 speed, people kind of, I think, miscast him as just a go route guy. He's just going to run go routes or stutters and goes and run nine routes. He has become an excellent route runner, whether it's crosses or double moves or arrows or and I tell you my favorite route with him is now that slice route, which is kind of a delay and it's not a crosser, it's not a shallow or a medium crosser, it's basically at an angle. It's not an over route, you slice it, and so he's become awesome at that. The other thing, Matt, I'd tag it with it, the nose for the end zone. He's nine touchdowns as a rookie now, put him right there with Rashee Rice last year. And the fact that he knew where that pylon was the other day. When he took off, he knows. So to develop that sense as a receiver, to be a route runner, work with Pat, I'm with you. I am so excited about his future. We'll close this way because you can't make it up. If Ted Lasso's writers came up with this, the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs, and as I mentioned at the end of the broadcast, are now past Pluto. We're beyond the normal NFL solar system because there's a chance to do something that's never, ever, ever been done. The Chiefs have the chance to do that where they won Super Bowl IV. The Chiefs have a chance. They will work out on the same field or near the same field where they won Super Bowl IV at Tulane University. That's our workout facility. And that in of itself, you're like, oh, come on, guys. That's a little too corny here. Nope, that's where we're going. And the fact that we will be there, which was the last American Football League team to play, because the Chiefs represented the AFL in beating the Minnesota Vikings on that game, the first franchise Super Bowl victory, and to do so as the last AFL team. The other thing that I think is fun, this is Super Bowl 59. Lamar Hunt founded the American Football League in 1959. So it's just too much fun to look at all these subplots and realize, and if you're one of Ted Lasso's writers and you follow us on Defending the Kingdom and you're going, man, they got us on this one. None of this is fiction. It's all fact.